All right. Good morning. Good morning. All right. 10 o'clock. Here we are. Hope you can hear me okay. Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, we've got people joining online here, and thanks for taking the time on this Sunday morning to tune in. We've got people watching this. We've got people who are phoning in and being able to call and listen in as well. And so thanks for doing things a little bit differently with us this Sunday morning. I know most of you have gotten our communication that went out. If you got our email, seen what we put out on social media. But for those of you who haven't gotten that because you are just coming in through on your phone, I want to just take a moment to explain why it is that we are here this morning and not gathered together in the church facilities. With everything that's been going on regarding the COVID-19 or the coronavirus, things have been escalating quickly. It has been quite an interesting few last days, and so I'm sure you've seen it all over the news. MLB has postponed the start of their season and their spring training. The NBA has canceled the rest of their season as of now. Disney World has actually closed as well, and so we're experiencing some interesting days for sure. When we look at just Canada, our recent numbers tell us there are 257 diagnosed, with 103 of those being in Ontario. Sorry, just give me a second here. Okay, 103 of those being in Ontario. There have been one that we know of in the Niagara region. And I'm sure most of you have heard the Ontario government's decision to have the schools postponed. So for the 2 weeks following March break, that we will not be having schools. And so obviously they're concerned about people traveling during March break and not wanting anything to come back that would then catch and spread. Also, the government of Ontario released a statement asking for an immediate suspension of gatherings of 250 people or more. And so that ultimately affects us as a church, that affects our Sunday morning service. However, beyond that, we as a leadership have decided to cancel all upcoming church gatherings until further notice. So this includes Celebrate Recovery, midweek prayer meetings, youth, kids ministry meetings that would normally happen during the week. We are canceling these until further notice. And so I've had people ask, for how long are we going to be closing and not running these events? The answer is until further notice. Okay, so things are changing so quickly. As recently as Thursday, I thought we were going to be having church live here this morning. And so things are changing quickly. So we're going to keep you posted. So just stay in touch with us. The best thing to do is be on our website. Make sure you're getting our emails, and we will communicate with you as best as we can. And so thank you for your understanding. Thank you for your support. I'm going to blindly assume that you are in support, and just thank you for praying for us as a church, praying for the leadership, for us as a church body, and for our community. In lieu of our Sunday morning service, we're here doing this online, and we're going to spend some time together in the Word together. During the week, I'm also going to have some online prayer meetings, and so we're going to send out some invitations during the week so that you can jump on and be a part of some online prayer meetings like this. So if you're on the internet, you'll be able to actually interact and see each other, and we can pray together. You can actually phone in as well. And my conviction is this, in this time, is that this is not a time for the church to shrink back. This is not a time for us as a church to shut down. We are not gathering in a corporate sense, but this is time for us to actually rise up and be the Church of Jesus Christ. The Church of Jesus Christ is not closed. The Church of Jesus Christ is alive and well, and so we want to be active in prayer. This is a time to spend more time in prayer, more time in God's Word, more time connecting with one another. So I want to encourage you as a church family, connect with one another. Do something really old school and pick up the phone and call somebody. You can do that. You can actually make phone calls and stay in touch with people in the church. And one more thing before I get into the message this morning is to just remember the financial needs of the church. And I'm sure you know this from a personal perspective, just because you have to shift things in your calendar It does not mean that all of a sudden the financial needs go away. And so we do need your faithfulness in tithes and offerings. And so just be aware of that as we are away and not gathering together. You can give online. I know some of you don't give online. That's obviously the easiest way to do so. But you can, if you won't give online, you can bring it here during the week. We will be here as much as possible during our regular office hours. Our plan is to have someone here, and we can have that. So you can drive in, bring your tithes and offerings, and just thank you for your faithfulness in supporting us in this time. And so let me just open us up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this morning, God. And Lord, what a unique environment that we get to be in, where we can listen and see one another and yet not be in the same room. But God, we believe that your presence is with us, Lord. We thank you that your presence is with us everywhere that we go, everywhere that we are. And so, Lord, I pray that your presence would fill every home right now, every room, every family that's gathered together, every individual that's holding a phone in their hands or looking at a screen. God, I pray that your presence would just fill where they are, Lord, and that you would be the one to guide us and direct us through this time, Lord. I thank you for your word, Lord. As we open it, I pray that your word would become alive to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, I want to ask you to open to Psalm 91. We're going to be spending our time in Psalm 91 for just a few minutes that we'll be together this morning. And I want to start by making this declaration. We do not need to be afraid. We have no reason to be afraid. I said this when we sent out the video yesterday, that I personally am not afraid. I don't believe we as a church need to be afraid. This is not a time for us to be frightful and anxious about what's happening in our world. Now, you're probably going to ask a question, if we're not afraid, then why are we canceling our gatherings, right? If we really don't have any reason to be afraid, then why aren't we meeting together? And so the first thing is this: we believe in submitting to our governing authority. And so the government has called for a suspension of gatherings of 250 people or more. And so we believe it's biblical to honor our governing authorities and our government. And so we're doing that because we believe it's the right thing to do. But beyond that, we're canceling our smaller gatherings, including our midweek ministry, because here's what I believe. I believe the church should be the wisest group of people on planet Earth. I believe we should be the wisest group of people on planet Earth. Now, that's a wildly offensive statement to people who are not a part of the church, but I just believe it's true. If the church is a people who are filled with the Spirit of God, led by the Spirit of God, on a mission with God, then we should be able to have the wisdom of God. We should be operating in wisdom in everything that we do. And so the church ought to be setting the standard for how to respond in times of crisis. Okay, so we are experiencing a time of crisis in our world. We don't need to be afraid of it, but the reality is there's a crisis going on. And so we should be the ones, I believe, who know how to fight against tragedy and overcome evil and come against fear in the wisest way possible. We ought to walk in wisdom, both spiritually and practically. We need to know how to spiritually deal with threats and issues and enemies and challenges that come our way. But we also ought to know how to be practical in our response to them. And on the practical end, the reality is this, and you've been hearing about a lot of this in the news, but here's the reality. The best way to ensure that this virus doesn't spread is for people not to congregate. And so from just a wise perspective, we don't want to put anyone at risk as a church family, not just out of care for one another, but out of care for the larger community. We want to make sure that our community and our world stays safe. Now, that being said, here's what I believe. I believe that even if we did gather together this morning, if we all snuggled up in a room together with all of our germs and all, I actually believe that we would still be okay. I believe that we do not need to be afraid. I believe that we would be able to remain healthy because God's protection is on us. And I'm going to explain that this morning. So I'm going to read here Psalm 91. Let's start reading in verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, which are feathers, And under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Now, I don't know about you, but I like the sounds of that. You might say, Pastor Tim, it's not that simple. I mean, those are beautiful words. That's a beautiful psalm, but anyone can catch a virus. Anyone can get sick. Just because we're believers doesn't mean we're immune to sickness. And I understand that. I understand what you're saying. I understand what's being communicated. But I understand that believers can get sick. I understand that bad things can happen to people who follow God. And I'm not suggesting that I have all the answers. But what I am suggesting to you is that God does have all the answers. And he's the one who took the time to write into his holy book this reality, that he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from deadly pestilence. What is pestilence? Pestilence is disease. We have this promise that God says that he's going to deliver us from every deadly disease, every deadly sickness, every deadly virus. God took time to write into his word that we don't have to fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about coronavirus and about COVID-19. What is it? It is a pestilence that stalks in darkness. What does that mean? It's something that you can't see, okay? It's in the dark. This virus that's going around, you can't see it. You don't know if people have it, and they might not even be showing symptoms, and yet they may have it. And so this is a beautiful, or I shouldn't say beautiful, that's a poor choice of words. This is an accurate description of what this virus is. It's a pestilence that stalks in the darkness. You can't see it. And yet we have this promise that we don't have to be afraid of it. Folks, I'm telling you, you don't have to be afraid of the coronavirus. You do not have to be afraid of COVID-19. You don't have to be afraid of somebody coughing on you, sneezing on you. You don't have to be afraid of someone who walks by you who's got the sniffles. I'm not suggesting that you dive in front of someone who's sneezing and rub their germs all over your body, okay? Not a good idea. Don't do that. But you do not have to live in fear. Because if we allow ourselves to develop a fear of this virus, a fear of such a thing in our world, then what that means is that we've developed a greater faith in our inability to remain healthy and protected. We have more faith in our inability to remain healthy and protected than we have faith in our ability to be protected by God and be kept healthy. I made a decision years ago that if I was going to choose between believing God and believing man, I would believe in God. I would choose to trust God. The word says it like this: may God be true and every man a liar. And so I've chosen to put my faith in God and in his word. And I believe that it's our task for the rest of our lives. Okay, here's what's in store for the body of Christ for the rest of our lives. It's a process of renewing our mind to God's word. Our whole life on planet Earth is a process of renewing our mind to God's word and changing our thoughts to the way that God thinks. Our minds are constantly being renewed, and most of us in this world are having our minds renewed and reprogrammed according to the prevailing thoughts in our world today. And our minds are being renewed by what we hear in the news. Okay, so you listen to the news. If you wake up in the morning and listen to the news all day long, go to bed at night, your mind is actually being renewed to the news. Your mind is being wired according to what you are hearing online, on the internet, in the newspapers, on social media. If you've got a smartphone, I mean, on my iPhone, all I got to do is swipe left and I've got 5 stories waiting there to try and renew my mind and tell me to be afraid of the coronavirus. Now, many of them, that's not their intention, right? They're the news and they're just trying to report on what's happening. But we don't have to renew our minds to that. We have to renew our minds to God's word. I've got news stories in my feed that will try and prompt me to rush to Costco to stock my shelves, right? Anybody seen Costco? Anybody seen Walmart? We went through a season where it was jam-packed to now, you know, having not a lot of people going out. And so it's an interesting thing. But I just need to say it like this. You don't need to go buy more toilet paper. I mean, unless you're all out. If you're all out of toilet paper, you should go buy more toilet paper. It's a good thing to have. I don't know if you heard, but I heard of someone at the grocery store in Niagara Falls who had a knife pulled on them. because they grabbed the last something off the shelf. I don't know if it was toilet paper or what, but you've seen enough of it in the news and online to know that people are freaking out. And church, it is not okay for the church to freak out. It is not okay for children of God to start losing our minds and being consumed with fear over what is going on. The church ought to be the most rock solid, level headed, steady, consistent, faithful, immovable people in the midst of it all. We're not supposed to be thermostats. We're supposed to be thermometers. Okay, thermostats, thermometers tell you. We're supposed to be thermostats, not thermometers. You know what I mean. You're smart people. Thermometers, they tell you the temperature. It's an easy thing to do, right? It's an easy thing when it's cold outside to tell people that it's cold. It's an easy thing when it's hot to tell people that it's hot. What we need to be is a people who set the temperature. So what are we doing in our own hearts, in our own minds, in our own families, in our own homes to set the temperature on how we're responding to what's going around us? The news is not supposed to be the one to set the temperature. The news media is supposed to be the thermometer. They're telling us what the temperature is. They're telling us what's happening, and this is how many people are diagnosed, and they're giving us these statistics. I don't expect the news to be the source of my faith. The news is not supposed to be building my faith. The problem is, if all we listen to is the news, then that's what we're building our faith on without even trying to do it. But if you build your faith on God's word and you start to see what's happening through his eyes and through his perspective, it's a whole different thing. And my hope and prayer for us as a church family is that we would put on our Psalm 91 glasses, and we would actually see the chaos and the crisis and the tragedy that's happening in our world today through God's eyes, through his perspective. And I want to tell you a story to encourage you about the 91st Psalm. There was a sergeant, a military chaplain in the army in early 2000s, who his name was Hardy Higgins, and he served as an army chaplain in the Iraq War. And so he was there with the United States Army. And when he was sent out with his crew of 6,000 soldiers in his brigade, he had Psalm 91 printed on cards, and he put them in every one of their vehicles, every one of their tanks, every soldier personally got a card with the 91st Psalm written on it. And he had his 6,000 soldiers memorize the 91st Psalm. So that as he was walking down the line, when they were standing at attention, he could point at any one of them and say, verse 1, verse 5, verse 10, verse 13, and they would have to recite it. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will not fear the arrow that flies by day or the pestilence that stalks at night. They would have to have it memorized. And so he did this with his team. And he tells a story of when they had visited. They had a visit from a high executive general from north of Baghdad, where they were stationed. And some of his men had to bring him to an airport. And so they drove him there. And on their way home, about 11 o'clock at night, they were driving through an underpass, and there was some Iraqis who were waiting there to ambush them. And they fired a rocket-propelled grenade at the vehicle, and it hit the rear taillight straight in the middle. It pushed the taillight into the vehicle, and the grenade dropped out the side and rolled over 20 meters out of the way before exploding. The Iraqis were firing machine guns straight at them on the other side of the underpass. They're driving through, and all of them were waiting there with machine guns shooting at them. And every single bullet went above them, beside them, or just beneath them before the vehicle when they were driving. There wasn't a single bullet hole in the vehicle. Not a single soldier was wounded. Every single soldier was protected. And out of all of their time on tour in Iraq, 6,000 soldiers, not one of them were injured or killed. Not one. Not one. Because they had Psalm 91 as the meditation of their heart. Here's what I want to say to us. If God can protect 6,000 soldiers in the middle of a war in Iraq, don't you think he can protect you in the midst of a virus outbreak? Don't you think that God can protect you whether you're here in the Niagara region or whether you're traveling, you have family and friends traveling somewhere overseas or out of the country? If God can protect 6,000 soldiers in Iraq in the middle of a war, God can protect you. Let me read a few more verses here, verse 9 and 10. of Psalm 91. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall befall you, nor plague come near your tent. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to make the Lord our dwelling place. We're supposed to make Jesus our dwelling place. Make Jesus the one that you put your faith in. Make Jesus the one you spend your time with. Make Jesus the one that you focus on and talk about. Everyone's spending their days, filling their days, talking about coronavirus, talking about outbreak, talking about COVID-19. How about we get intentional about having our conversation centered on Jesus? Let's talk more about Jesus. Let's talk about more what God is doing in our family. Let's talk more about the good things that he's doing in the midst of all this. Thank God if you're still able to work at your job all throughout the week. Thank God for that, right? Find things in your life in the midst of this that, sure, there's things happening, and sure, there's difficulties in economy, and sure, there's challenges that are coming with this. But thank God for the good things that are happening. Spend time being intentional about talking about Jesus, talking about the faith, talking about your family and the good things that are happening. You worship what you talk about. You worship what you think about. You worship what you give your time to. And you worship what you fear. You worship what you fear. So I'll just say this bluntly. If you are afraid, if you're living in fear of this coronavirus, you are actually idolizing and worshiping this virus and giving it an inappropriate place in your heart. You are unintentionally worshiping this crisis. The only source of our fear should be God. The only person that we fear should be God. God should be the only one that we have a reverential honor and respect for, that we understand that he's God. He alone is above us. He is our superior. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So I'll stretch that a little bit further and say it like this. The fear of anything else is the beginning of foolishness. If the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, then to fear anything else is actually foolishness. It's silly. It's silly for us to be afraid of anything else that we explain or experience in our lives. Let me say this. Don't allow yourself or the devil to condemn you over doing things that we should be doing anyways. Okay, let me explain that for a little bit. Don't feel like you're living in fear if you're washing your hands more than you used to, using more Purell than you used to, okay? Don't feel condemned, okay? Because we can tend to go in one ditch or the other, where we do become fearful, and therefore we do all these things, and then there can be the other ditch that we can go into where we say, well, we're a people of faith, and we believe in protection, therefore we don't have to do anything wise, we don't have to do anything in a practical sense. Here's the reality. I find this to just be a healthy reminder of how often we should be washing our hands anyways. You're always supposed to sing happy birthday twice when you wash your hands. You're always supposed to use hand sanitizer. You're never supposed to sneeze into your hands and then rub your eyes and spread germs all over the place. We're always supposed to be doing these things. This is just an opportunity for us to be reminded about things we should always be doing. These are good health practices. Now, if you're building a bunker in your basement or walking around in a hazmat suit, you've taken things too far. Okay, you've gone into a level of going beyond some practical things, and you've gone into a fear mode. Don't let yourself or the devil condemn you about making wise shifts in your daily habits, washing hands, using Purell, not going into large gatherings at this point in time. Make wise decisions. But let me say a few words about all the hoarding. Lots of hoarding going on nowadays, where people are stocking shelves, stocking their basements, stocking their pantry. Allow me to remind you about how God provided for the Israelites when they were in the wilderness. What did God do for them? He rained down provision from heaven every day. And what did he say to them? He said, don't take more than what you need for that day. Don't grab more thinking, well, maybe God won't provide for us tomorrow, because that would be fear. God says, just take what you need for today, because I'm going to give you enough every day. I'm going to provide for you. And for 40 years, he rained provision from heaven for God's people. Now, I know that's something we've read in the Bible that sounds so long ago that we can't even imagine God doing something like that today. But the moral of the story is that God actually can provide for your every needs. If you run out of something, if something happens where you can't get out, if every grocery store had to shut their doors, I'm telling you, God would provide for you. If he needed to open the windows of heaven and pour down provision. Folks, that's the God that we serve. If you look at the Lord's Prayer, it says we're supposed to pray, give us this day our daily bread, not our weekly bread, not our seasonal bread, not our more than enough bread, our daily bread. Now, this doesn't mean that you have to live every day and only go to the grocery store every day. Don't take things to that extent. The principle is that you ought not trust how much food you have in the fridge or in your cupboards, lest you fall into having a spirit of mammon, where you're consumed by, I've got to have enough. Folks, if you're looking for peace by filling your fridge, filling your shelves, and buying, you know, 73 boxes of Band-Aids, and if you're hoarding, thinking that it'll bring you peace, I'm telling you, you're not going to find peace in that. You're not going to find peace in that. The only way to find peace is in the Prince of Peace. The only way for you to find peace is through Jesus Christ. Put your trust in God. Do yourself a favor and don't give this thing more attention than it deserves. Don't give this more attention than it deserves. Stay informed, make wise decisions, but don't fill your days with it. Fill your days with Jesus. Fill your days with family. Families, you've got more time with your kids because of time off of school. Turn this into an opportunity to have awesome memories that you get to build with your kids. Don't spend the next 2 days, 10 days, 30 days, whatever season that we're into in the next season of life, don't be consumed by this. Make this an opportunity to focus your time on Jesus, your family, your community, and being there for those who need you. So let's keep reading here. We'll finish off Psalm 91, starting in verse 11. This is a promise from God to us. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Here's where I believe our faith should be at. Okay, I believe that our faith should be in a place where we believe that God's hand of divine protection and favor is on us to the point where we will not catch the virus. I believe that we should actually believe that we have such favor of God on our lives, just like Psalm 91 states, that we do not have to be afraid. We have divine protection over us. And I believe that even if we should get the virus, we can believe that Jesus will heal us. I believe first and foremost, we need to believe for divine protection, though we'll never get it. But even if we did get it, here's the great thing. Even when and if we did get sick, Jesus has the power to heal us, and he does it. Our God is a healing God. Listen to verse 15 again. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor you. I tell you, God is so good. He's so faithful that even when trouble comes knocking at your door, he'll rescue you. Even if sickness came right to your doorstep, you cry out to him and our God's a healer. We believe that Jesus will take care of you. And so I want to encourage you to pray the 91st Psalm over you and your household, over your kids, over your family members, over those who may be traveling or in other countries right now. There's no place that is too far that God cannot reach them and save them and heal them and protect them. And so make Psalm 91 a declaration over yourself. And what I want to do is declare the 91st Psalm over you right now, to pray over you. And then before we go, I'll give a few more announcements. So let me read this over you today. And I'm going to make this personal. You who dwell in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. You will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is your refuge. No evil shall be allowed to befall you, nor plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, because you hold fast to him in love, he will deliver you. He will protect you, because he knows your name. When you call to him, he will answer you. He will be with you in trouble. He will rescue you and honor you. And with long life, he will satisfy you and show you his salvation. Let me pray over all of us today. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your hand upon Niagara Worship Center, God. I thank you, Lord, that your wonderful presence is with every person, with every family, in every home, in every place. And God, I pray right now, according to Psalm 91, and I declare over them that no evil shall befall them, nor plague come near their dwelling. God, the people of Niagara Worship Center, because they are your children, they walk in your divine favor. And so, God, we believe that everywhere they go, Lord, they're going to trample underfoot any infection, any sickness, any disease that comes their way, Lord, as they go and as they come to work, as they go wherever they go, Lord God, as they experience life in the next several days and weeks, Lord, I thank you, Father, that your angels are around them, God. Your Holy Spirit is with them, and they are protected by you. God, we refuse to fear, and I come against the spirit of fear and cast it out in Jesus' name. It has no place in our minds. It has no place in our homes. It has no place in our thinking. Every time we're tempted to be afraid, Lord, we choose to say that you are our refuge. God, we place our trust in you, and we thank you, Father, for divine protection. We thank you, Father God, for your hand upon our lives. And Lord, we just look forward to being able to see the day where we move past this quickly, God. We thank you for Canada. We thank you, Father, for your hand upon this nation. And we pray, Lord God, for a quick turnaround. We thank you, Father God, for every nation on planet Earth. And Lord, we ask for a quick turnaround in Jesus' name. Lord, that you would bring healing. Lord, that you would bring change. God, that you would be the one that this is how you work. You restore things, not just to how they were before, but Lord, you make them even better. I thank you, Lord, that on coming onto the other side of this struggle, I thank you that we will be in a better place. Lord, as a church, we will be stronger. As a people of God, we will be firmer. We will be more deeply planted in you. God, I pray that every person who's being affected even financially with their business or with their employment in this time, God, I pray and believe that as on the aftermath of this, on the other side of this, God, that they will end up better than they were before, God, because that's just who you are. Lord, whatever the enemy intends for evil, you use it for good. And so we just thank you, God, that your grace is upon us as your people. We thank you for your grace upon planet Earth, upon your creation, Lord. And we ask that you would move by your Spirit, that you would do a great thing. And we pray these things by faith today as a church family. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, before you head out, just want to remind you of a few things in case you missed when we first logged on here just about a half an hour ago. Please spread the word if not everyone around you has heard. If you talk to people in the church, that all gatherings at Niagara Worship Center until further notice are canceled. Okay, so that's Sunday morning services, midweek things, they're canceled. But remember, the Church of Jesus Christ is not canceled. We are alive and well. This is not a time for us to shrink back. This is a time for us to be calling one another, staying connected to one another, praying with one another. I'm telling you, dust off that phone and actually make some phone calls. Stay connected with people. And let me encourage you with this. If you have neighbors, people on your street, in your community, in your lives that are elderly or live alone, why don't you go offer to see if they need some help, to see if you can go pick up groceries for them if they're not wanting to leave the house. If you've got neighbors, people around you, just use this as an opportunity to be the church. Use this as an opportunity to be gracious and generous to others. This is not a time for us to be hoarding. This is a time for us to be generous and make sure that we're helping others. And so thank you for your faithfulness in giving online through our website to give your tithes and offerings. Stop by the church during the week, during our office hours, if you don't give online, to make sure that we are able to continue with the ongoing needs of the church. And the best way to just stay in the loop going forward is through social media, email, check our website. We'll be in touch about upcoming prayer meetings. We're going to send out some resources for kids, for families, for you to watch with your kids and just spend some extra time as a family seeking God and talking about Jesus. And so, so stay tuned for that. So God bless you. I'm praying for you. I'm praying over you. And remember that we have the victory in Jesus Christ. And so thanks for being here this morning. God bless you all. And we will talk to you and see you again soon. Okay. Take care. God bless.